All right, I want to finish the sermon I started the last time I was here. Didn't plan on having it being a two-part sermon, but it ended up being one. And of course, if you remember back then, it's called Wisdom in Matters of Friendship. Wisdom in Matters of Friendship. And obviously a practical Christianity sermon for all of us, but if you remember, we emphasized that we were directing it more to the youth, to help them as they grow up, preteens and teenagers and so on, because they will be developing friendships throughout their life. And the sooner you can learn how to develop good friendships and know who to have as a friend, it can stand you in good stead. Just a very quick review. We based the sermon on Colossians 4, verses 5 and 6, where it specifically is directed to people outside, non-believers, where it says, walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time, and let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to ought to answer each one, and how to develop, as we extended, your relationships with those in and out of the church. You know, we're all social creatures living on an inhabited planet, so it's impossible not to have association with people. Even monks have association with each other. May not talk a whole lot, from what I understand, but at least they have associations with one another. We looked last time at the value of a good friend. That was Roman numeral number one in my notes. The value of a good friend. And then we talked about a friend as someone who can be a source of comfort. That's one of the values. A friend can be a source of good counsel if he or she is a good friend. Counsel that can delight the heart, as we saw there in Proverbs. We then looked at the advice on the selection of friends. People that we do not want to have as friends, right? The advice on the selection of friends. We talked about those who are gossips, short-tempered individuals, those given to drinking and gluttony, and I gave you a very personal story about a congregation. I was there about 3 or 4 weeks and got called from a member who asked if I could talk with his son about hanging out with three other guys at high school. He was a junior, and they liked to get a six-pack of beer and then drink it while they drove all around these country roads in northern Indiana. And I told him I'd be happy to, but it might be nice if I could build a little rapport with him before I just come in and try to help him. And he said, well, let me have you over, you and your wife over for dinner. I'm going out of town for a week on business. Now, when I get back, we'll invite you over. Ask what does your son enjoy? He said, well, he's an avid Chicago Cubs fan. I said, well, that's great because I'm an avid St. Louis Cardinals fan. And those are two teams that like to compete against each other. I said, we can have a lot of fun with that. And I said, but I'll try to spend a lot of time with him when we're together for dinner and get to know him. Make a long story short, it was about 3 or 4 days later, he called me while he was on his trip and said that his son had been killed in an automobile accident. And the police said their educated guess was that he and the other three guys in the car were drinking beer. And they had two cans of beer left, and the guy who was driving took the beer that he had and handed it over the seat to the guy behind him. And when he did, his hand moved, and the car hit a concrete abutment like they have in those small communities, you know, and killed his son, who was a passenger, in the front seat, and killed the kid behind him. And then the driver survived, and the guy behind him survived. And, you know, he should have listened to the advice of his parents. The fifth commandment has a promise, does it not? Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the earth. If he had just said, Dad, you know what, I'm just not going to hang out with these guys, I'm not going to drink in the car with them anymore, you know, he might have children and grandchildren by this time, because this goes back many, many years. So a selection of friends is important. Learn that even while you're young in particular. We talked about those given to change. By change, we mean those who are given to constant change, faddish type situations. Change is good when you're repenting of a sin. We all made a major change at the time of our conversion, where we began to follow God's way of life. But we discussed that in detail. Liars, those untrustworthy, and those who are inconsiderate. We discussed that extensively. Then we discussed the sort of friends you want, those who display wisdom themselves. And I gave you a story about Jackie Collins, you know, a very, very close friend of mine in St. Louis. Before I moved with my dad, lived with my mother, and he and I became very, very close friends in junior high and as a freshman in high school. And we'll go into all those details again, but he was a very close friend and a very moral individual, you know, for the times in which we lived. So it was a blessing for me to have that type of friend. We discussed Mr. Armstrong and how he said that he tried to hang around businessmen who would be good mentors for him, you know, men who were wise that he might learn from them. And we discussed, you know, being able to have mentors that can be a benefit to you. And then we concluded that sermon with 1 Corinthians 15:33, which says the wrong kind of friends can be a corrupting influence on you. The wrong kind of friends can be a corrupting influence on you. So let's begin this sermon, finishing off wisdom in matters of friendship. With advice on maintaining good friendships. Again, remember this is more directed for our youth, but all of us can learn from it. Advice on maintaining good friendship. First of all, things to avoid which can disrupt a good friendship. Things to avoid which can disrupt a good friendship. Number one, don't repeat everything you hear. We all have a tendency to be willing to do that. Turn to Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17. Again, don't repeat everything you hear. In Proverbs 17, in verse 9, it says, "He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates very friends." So don't repeat everything you hear. When it says he that covers a transgression seeks love, the word actually can be better stated, he promotes love. He promotes love. JFB puts it this way, "We ought to cover a fault when the glory of God and the good of our neighbor and of the commonwealth do not require its publication." I think that's a very good statement to remember. We ought to cover a fault when the glory of God and the good of our neighbor and of the commonwealth do not require its publication. The good of the community. I think that's a very fine statement. Then when it says he that repeats a matter separates very friends, it means he who revives. Okay, he who revises a matter. He revives the remembrance of some injury or some cause, some quarrel, which ought to be considered, or consigned, I should say, to oblivion. He repeats to another some transgression with ought for love's sake, as we read in the beginning, for love's sake, rather to have been covered, as opposed to repeating it. So, don't repeat everything you hear. It will definitely cause problems with friends if you do. Matthew Henry says something good about this. He says, "The way to preserve peace among relations and neighbors is to make the best of everything, not to tell others what has been said or done against them when it is not all necessary for their safety." Again, make the best of everything. And don't tell others information that is not necessary. Something that's not going to cause them any harm or any pain. Number two, avoid senseless arguments. Have any of you ever gotten into an argument and you wish I had just never started it? Yeah, I have. I have. Avoid senseless arguments. Proverbs 17 in verse 14. Now, I can relate to this one because I have a very personal experience with regard to the proverb in particular. Proverbs 17, in verse 14, says, the beginning of strife, okay, the beginning of strife is like releasing water. Therefore, stop contentions before a quarrel starts. Don't even let it begin. Avoid senseless arguments. You see, there's a danger in the beginning of strife. One hot word, one peevish reflection, one angry demand, or spiteful contradiction begets another, and then begets a third, and it escalates. Avoid senseless arguments. And what is mentioned here about letting out water or releasing water is water has a way of expanding a problem. Now, we like to drink it. That's a good thing, right? But I can relate to this with the house that I built for my wife and me down in Cedar Creek Lake. Water has a way of taking a small crevice, it's flowing downhill, and pretty soon you have the Grand Canyon. That's what he means about letting out water. You see, we're building our house, and the gutters were supposed to go on the house, let's say in about 2 weeks. Well, about a week and a half before the gutters went on, it started raining torrentially. I mean, it rained for 10 straight days. Some of you may remember this about three and a half years ago. And I had graded out the back of the house, and it sloped down to the lake. And I had someone inside the house who was working. And he said, Frank, he says, this rain, it was like Niagara Falls coming off your roof. Now, the back of my lot was nice and smooth. Didn't have anything on it. And I was gone about a couple of days. I went down there, and there was, jokingly, Grand Canyons everywhere. It just rutted everything out. Ended up having to redo it all over again. Now, if we'd gotten the gutters on, it would have helped. But nevertheless, as it says here, the beginning of strife is like releasing water. How many here are familiar with the Three Gorge Dam in China? Anybody aware of that problem? It goes back a number of years now, but they found leaks in the dam in numerous spots. And there was great concern that that water was going to end up, you know, causing the dam to burst. And of course, that's holding back a tremendous amount of water. And they said if the dam ever gave way, and they did a lot of construction on it to try to keep it from doing that, if that dam had given way, they said it would have literally killed millions of people downstream. And potentially would have, you know, affected the entire supply chain, quote unquote, like we're having today, when it came to food and other sources. So water is powerful. And so he says the beginning of strife. He says one who lets out water. Once you start strife, it can build and build and build until it totally explodes, and the friendship is gone. So be aware that it's probably wise to stay away from conflict as much as possible. Number three, don't meddle in affairs not your own. Don't be a busybody, basically, is what Proverbs is telling us. Don't meddle in affairs that are not your own. Notice Proverbs 26 and verse 17. Proverbs 26 and verse 17. He who passes by and grabs a dog, and meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a dog by his ears. That's pretty self-explanatory, isn't it? He who passes by and meddles in a quarrel not his own. May not even be aware of what's taking place. Just sees a little quarrel and he tries to, you know, get in the middle of it. It's like grabbing a dog by the ears. Now what happens if you grab a dog by the ears? And it's not your dog in particular. It's going to turn around and bite you. It's going to turn around and bite you. And God says, be aware of that. The danger with grabbing a dog by his ears is you can end up with a great number of stitches in your hand. Okay? Great number of stitches in your hand. And again, the reason this is stated is that God is wanting to give us instruction on how to not have pain. Not have pain. Matthew Henry puts it this way: we are cautioned against it because of the danger it exposes to us. He says it's like taking a snarling cur by the ears that will snap at you, bite you, and you'd better have left him alone. So be aware of minding your own business as much as possible. Don't be meddling in other people's affairs. It's just not a very good thing. Now, there are some, obviously, there's wisdom. There's some affairs that you have to meddle in, like a husband and wife conflict. that you want to resolve, right? But if you're not aware of people in particular, who they are, let them resolve their own issues. I heard a police officer a number of years ago state, one of the worst calls they can get is to go and deal with conflict with a husband and wife. He said he went on a call once with a friend, and by the time they were done, both the husband and the wife were attacking him. Now, he didn't have a choice. Right? He was a police officer. I'd say that for emphasis, that, you know, these type of things can cause you a lot of difficulty, a lot of pain. So it's wise just to don't meddle in affairs not your own. Next one, don't play bad jokes. Now, I'm not against joking, okay? I'm not against joking. Mr. DeMore and I joke with each other all the time. And we enjoy it. We just enjoy it. But we know we're friends. We know. But you know, even we, if we're not careful, could get carried away and make a joke that's a little bit painful. Right? Jokes can be funny. Then pretty soon, all of a sudden, you tell a joke and it's painful. You say something, a joke about your wife or your husband to each other, and all of a sudden, she or he didn't think it was all that funny. Then you end up sleeping on the couch. Right? So don't play bad jokes. Proverbs 26. And verses 18 and 19. Proverbs 26, 18 and 19. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death. So this guy's throwing three different things. He's really emphasizing the badness, if I may say, of this. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor, okay, and says, I was only joking. I was only teasing. I was only kidding. Have you ever said that? You see, I have said that. You know, I'm joking. I'm just joking. My favorite phrase, I'm just joshing you. I'm just joshing you. Whoever Josh is. Okay. I'm just joshing you. So, Matthew Henry says, a lie in jest does mischief in earnest. A lie in jest does mischief in earnest. A painful joke on someone is painful. And you can say, I was just kidding, but it still cut deeply. So be aware of that. I'm not saying don't joke and have a good time with people. The world would be one dull place. But you need to use a lot of wisdom in how you tell jokes and what you're going to say. Like I said, I know in one instance in particular, I was making a joke and I wish I'd just never said anything. Because I realized after it was out of my mouth, I knew that it was a little bit painful. Two ways. One, I knew it personally. And secondly, I saw the little bit of pain on the person's face. And I said, you know, that was not real wise. And I apologized, in this case, to her. Okay, because it was a lady, not a man. So be aware and be careful of these things. Don't be a talebearer and don't be contentious. I put those two together. Don't be a talebearer and don't be contentious. Notice Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26. And verse 20. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out, And where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. Strife ceases. In verse 21, as charcoal is to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. So this verse deals with, again, talebearers and deals with being contentious. And both of them cause problems within relationships, especially a person who is just contentious. You would have to analyze yourself if you fall into that category. Adam Clark puts it this way. The tail bearer and the tail receiver. The tail receiver and the tail bearer are the agents of discord. If none received the slander in the first instance, it could not be propagated. So it isn't just talking about those who are tail bearers. You might have to ask yourself, are you a tail receiver? A tail bearer receiver? Do you enjoy receiving gossip? Do you enjoy receiving the least little tidbits of whatever you can hear? Again, I told the story of the couple in Pinnacle Club where we live. And this couple are known as gossips. And they are very friendly and very enjoyable people. But everyone in Pinnacle Club knows that they are the gossips in the neighborhood. And one man told me when he saw me talking with this couple once. He says, I don't like talking about people, quote unquote. He said, but you want to be careful what you tell them, because what you tell them is going to get all through Pinnacle Club. They're just known as individuals who like to talk about anyone and everything. And they also, therefore, love receiving all the information that they can get so that they can share it with everyone. Now, everybody's friends with them from the standpoint he plays golf with a group of men. She's a part of the women's club that they have down there. But everyone is very careful what they say around that couple. You don't want to have that reputation. And it will separate the closest friends if you're not careful. As far as the tailbearer and the contentious person, the pulpit commentary says this. He's of an inflammatory character. He keeps alive quarrels which, but for his vice, would die down for want of fuel. That's what it talks about, the fuel, the wood, right? It would die down for want of fuel. So be aware not to be a talebearer or person who is contentious, that likes to stir things up. Now let's move on to the next section. And that's solving problems with our friends. This will be the last section. It will wrap up this two-part sermon. Solving problems with our friends. Number one, make sure that you are at peace with God and Jesus Christ. That you are at peace, as we might say, with the Lord. Be aware that you're at peace with God. Turn to Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 7. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 7. It says, but when a man's ways pleases the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Solving problems with friends. When our ways please the Lord, he makes even our enemies to be at peace with us. That's a good friend to have in your corner. Because I am aware of individuals in the church who had conflicts with people in the workplace who were not part of the church. They didn't like what they believed. They caused headaches for them with other employees. And the man is not with us today, but this actually occurred in Dallas back when I was pastoring here, where a man was having a major conflict with one of his fellow employees. And it went on. And he says, it is so bad that I am about ready to just change jobs. Now, he enjoyed his job. And I mentioned this scripture to him. I said, well, ask God to cause your enemy to be at peace with you. He said, what do you mean? I said, talk with God. I prayed him. Ask him to give you a favor in this man's mind. And I said, you might want to do it every day. Then about a month later, he came back and said, you know what? This man has apologized to me for all the things that he said in the past. He's apologized to me for all the things that he said in the past. I said, was that because of your wonderful personality? Or do you think possibly God changed his mind and put it on his heart because you requested that of him and you reminded God of his promise? That when a man's ways pleases the Lord, God can make even his enemies to be at peace with him. In other words, God can turn foes into friends when he pleases. He's not limited. Matthew Henry says this, He will do it for us when we please him. If we make it our care to be reconciled to God and to keep ourselves in his love, he will incline those that have been envious towards us, vexatious to us, to entertain good opinions of us and to become our friends. That's what God can do. Any of you having problems with people? Ask God to turn their hearts towards you. To change their minds towards you. Because it's much more fun having friends than having enemies. Trust me. And I think you all know that. You all know that. So God can turn our enemies into our friends. Next, you want to solve problems with your friends? Be slow to anger. Be slow to anger. Proverbs 15 and verse 18. Proverbs 15 and verse 18. A wrathful man stirs up strife. But he that is slow to anger appeases strife. You know, passion is a wonderful thing. I think all of us need passion in our lives. Especially passion for the Word of God. Passion for the way of life He's outlined to us. But passion, like anything else, if it gets carried away, can be a problem. Passion is the great maker, or one of the great makers of enemies. Where you get passionate about something and you just explode on somebody about something because you're passionate and they don't agree with your passion. Have you ever been upset with somebody who doesn't have the same passion you do about something? How about husbands and wives? You ever allowed a husband's passion or wife's passion to affect you? Somebody says something very passionately. Wisdom says, okay, accept the fact that they feel strongly about this. Don't argue with them about it because it's just going to cause conflict. But we all need to keep our passion under control when it comes to things that can cause major conflict with other people. Be passionate for the right things. God's way of life is one of the right things. So be slow to anger. Matthew Henry says this, anger strikes the fire which sets cities and churches into flame. I think we've all witnessed that at times. A wrathful man with his peevish, passionate reflections stirs up strife and sets people together by the ears. He gives occasion to others to quarrel and takes the occasion that others give, though they are so trifling, to cause problems. Next point. Avoid quarreling. This kind of ties in with the first one. You'll find these overlapping. Avoid quarreling. Proverbs 20 and verse 3. Proverbs 20 and verse 3. Men think when they are engaged in quarrels that it would be a shame to them to back off. Have any of you ever started a quarrel and somebody's giving you a different opinion, but you're so dead set about what you've stated that you just can't back off because it would be humiliating or it would be hard for your masculinity if you're a man? Avoid quarreling. Proverbs 20 and verse 3. Proverbs 20 and verse 3. Says, it is honorable for a man or a woman, but it is honorable for a man to stop striving. Since any fool can start a quarrel. It's honorable to stop striving. There might come a time when you say, you know what? This has gotten a little carried away. We're striving a little bit too much here, and we're getting into an argument. I don't want to argue with you. You're your friend. You know, you have to be the big man or the big woman to back off the conflict, right? It's an honor for a man or woman to stop striving. Just back away from the situation. But what I have witnessed is two people get arguing about something and they've got so much invested into it now of their own personal feelings, their own pride, their own egotism, that they just can't back away. Well, you have that happen with friends and you're going to lose a friend. So wisdom says, avoid quarreling. Proverbs 15 and verse 1. You know what can help stop a quarrel? This proverb. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath. A soft answer will bring the level down. But a harsh word stirs up anger. I know I've already told you the story about doing a marriage workshop and if I came in from the garage and I saw my wife slamming, cabinet drawers and kicking the table and pushing chairs, I'm seeing anger, right? I can say, Sonia, what's wrong with you now? That would be kind of foolish in my part. You know, harsh words stirs up anger. But if I say, sweetheart, I can see that you're really upset about something, that you're angry. I don't know what it is, but I just want you to know I'm here for you, and if you just want to talk about it, that would be great. You can add whatever other words you want to that. And what you'll find in a situation like that isn't just a husband and wife, but you usually find the anger level beginning to dissipate. You'll find the stress beginning to be eliminated there. A soft answer turns away wrath. Remember, it's an honorable for a man to stop striving, to bring it down. Next point is speak briefly. Speak briefly. Notice Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19. Proverbs 10, verse 19. Speak briefly. Proverbs 10, verse 19 says, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. But he who restrains his lips is wise. He who restrains his lips is wise. I'm trying to think of this minister's name, and he taught at Ambassador College. Leroy Neff. How many here remember Leroy Neff? Okay. My wife and I were at dinner with him, actually in Pasadena, California at that time. And we were just talking about different things, and he was talking about wisdom, and we were discussing a couple of individuals, and he says, you know what? He says there was a person, I'm not going to tell you his name, that we thought was really, really wise and intelligent because he didn't say a whole lot. But then the more he talked, we realized he wasn't as wise and intelligent as we thought. So if you don't say a whole lot, you can be, what? Pull the wool over people's eyes. So wisdom means be careful. Don't talk so much about everything. You ever known people who you start talking about something and they finish your sentence? You start talking about something, they've got all the answers to the subject you just started. And they go on and on and on, and you didn't have a chance to even finish what you were going to say. And they went on and on and on and on and on. Speak briefly. Speak briefly. That kind of goes along with slow to respond. Speak briefly. You know, Proverbs 18:13 said that he that answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame unto him. He who answers a matter before he hears it, you just start your sentence, he already has the answer for you. Or he's already digesting what it is you were going to discuss. There's another scripture, Proverbs 18, verse 17, just down a few verses, that says, the first one to plead his case seems right until his neighbor comes and examines him. His neighbor comes and examines him. You see, there are those that just take great pride in being quick. You go to tell your side of the story, and pretty soon they've got all the answers for you, what you need to do. And then if you examine the whole situation, you find out your neighbor comes and explains the other side of the story, and you go, oh, wow, I didn't realize that. No, because you were what? Quick to speak. Instead of slow to speak and letting all the facts come out first. That's a matter of wisdom. There are some who take great pride in being quick. Again, Matthew Henry says this, they think it is an honor to take up a cause suddenly. It's an honor to take up a cause suddenly. And when they have heard one side, they think the matter so plain that they need not trouble themselves to hear the other. They have already apprised it and are masters of all the merits of the cause. That's really well put. Lastly, be quick to show love. Be quick to show love. And that's scripture we want to go to is Proverbs 10 and verse 12. Proverbs 10 and verse 12. We started with this one quite a while ago. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. If you have a deep love for someone, you're not going to want to spread all that you know about that person or what he or she has done. Love covers all sins. So be quick to show love. As a matter of fact, it says, speak the truth in what? Speak the truth in love. And my wife has stated to me on a few occasions, I'm sure she wasn't applying it to me, but she says, you know, the more truth you speak, the more love you need. The more truth you speak, the more love you need. Speak the truth in love. Meekness and gentleness and sharing different points of view is very important. Meekness and gentleness when you're dealing with other people and you want to maintain your friendships. Properly applying the wisdom of God when it comes to dealing with other people and friendships can ensure that we enjoy the blessings of good friends in this life and in the life to come. Rather than depending on trial and error, which all of us have a tendency to do, learn how to win friends and influence people without going to Carnegie's book. Okay? He has some very good information. Andrew Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Let God's Word be your guide in how you work and deal with people. But of all the friendships we could possibly develop, none can excel the friendship that we want to have with Jesus Christ. That should be our primary friend. You know, we read earlier, last sermon, that there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Well, that's Jesus Christ. Christ said, greater love has no one than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, he fulfilled that. He actually laid down his life for us. And Christ wants to consider us his friends. Matter of fact, he said what? I call you my friends. Because I revealed unto you, really, the matters of life. All elements of life. What is to come, the future, the hopes that we all have. So, friendships are important. They add to your life, trust me. If you have a really good friend, you have something very special. You really do. And my life, as I mentioned in the first sermon, growing up with my mother in St. Louis, was unsettled. It was an unsettled life. I attended 7 or 8 different schools. Then I paused. And I said, in my 4th grade year. In the 4th grade, I attended 7 or 8 different schools. We moved so much. And developing a close friend was nigh unto impossible. And also, I became a little bit weary of having someone who was a close friend. Why? Because I would end up moving. And not seeing that person again. So I had many superficial friends. I was involved with basketball, baseball, and football. Sports was my life growing up. And so I had a lot of friends on the teams that I played, but they were all superficial. Nothing ever deep. Until I moved to Wellston, Missouri, just outside St. Louis, and I attended Wellston Junior High, 7th and 8th grade, and Wellston High School, half my freshman year, in the same school. Never done that before. And that's where I met Jackie Collins. And Jackie Collins was a blessing to me. He was a blessing. He was the first person I really had as a friend. And I've always remembered that. We did everything together. And for teenagers, we both were pretty moral in our character back then. And, I counted a blessing to have had Jackie Collins as my friend back then for the life that I was living in St. Louis with my mother. Obviously, when I had the chance to move from St. Louis with my father, who was being transferred from Chicago out to Pasadena for more Ambassador College training, and he asked if I wanted to go, I went in a heartbeat. I just wanted to get out of that environment that I was living in. And Jackie was an individual who was a very close friend who gave me a little bit of sanity with my existence in St. Louis, Missouri. And so when I moved with my dad, it was probably the best decision I've ever made in my life. Not just because of my dad, but because of the environment that I was then able to grow up in and develop many different friends. You know, as a pastor in many different areas, I have individuals I became very close to, unlike living in St. Louis. So friends are a blessing. But remember, the greatest friend that we can have is Jesus Christ.